Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Joining us now is Mark Farhaz, assistant professor of government at Georgetown University School of Foreign Service in Doha, Qatar. Professor Farhaz, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Had you ever been to Doha in 2003, say, for instance, when CENTCOM actually moved its entire operation, it seemed, from Tampa to Doha to coordinate operations in the Iraq, the U.S. invasion of Iraq?
I came just after that, about 2 years after that, but of course had heard about Qatar being a student of the Middle East through Al Jazeera in particular and geopolitical concerns as well.
Well, certainly from a small country in the Emirates to being known as a nation that relies on natural gas more than oil to being the brains behind Al Jazeera, which is a global media player. Now, Qatar is positioning itself to be a regional military player. They've decided to be the first Arab nation to join Operation Odyssey Dawn, the air operation over Libya. Do you think we're tracking since 2003 the rise of a really significant regional power in more than just military terms, Mark Farha?
Well, I would say I would exempt the military aspect of it. The Qatari Air Force, I believe, has about 14 planes or such. So it is not a military power to reckon with, Qatar, by any means. And the participation now in Libya is more symbolic than anything else. However, in all other fields, yes, Qatar is definitely punching above its weight. It is a power to be reckoned with in media, with Al Jazeera. Also in diplomacy, it's been almost more effective than the UN itself in resolving conflicts in Lebanon and also in Darfur and elsewhere. So they're very much in the global limelight, and they're very effective so far in their foreign policy.
Mark Farha, assistant professor of government at Georgetown University, your School of Foreign Service in Doha is part of the sort of infrastructure of cultural influence that Qatar has. I want to talk about that in a moment. But how does Qatar leverage its influence, diplomatically speaking? Is it because of Al Jazeera, or is it because of its natural gas fortune?
Well, I think neither nor entirely. It's neither. Al Jazeera, I would not necessarily refer to Al Jazeera as an sort of an arrow in the arsenal of Qatari foreign policy. It is more or less independent from the government, one can say. However, they have a very able, just objectively speaking, very able foreign policy team, which has been astute in sort of resolving conflict and brokering deals, in taking the role of a neutral arbitrator, especially in the Lebanon case, but also in others. So it's the wealth helps, yes, but it's not the entire story. Other Gulf states have equal amounts of wealth. Abu Dhabi, for instance, is just as rich, if not richer. So that doesn't tell the whole tale. It is a combination of the wealth and a vision from the emir and from the foreign minister. So.
And the emir's wife is responsible for this education city complex, which began very humbly quite a while ago, but now involves virtually every big university in the United States. And I'm wondering if Georgetown University is a part of this Qatari education city, which also includes the Brookings Institution, Harvard, Carnegie Mellon, Columbia.
Right, definitely. Well, Georgetown was at the very forefront of that. It doesn't quite include every university in the U.S., but some of the really major universities. And it's been a wonderful sort of example of importing, if you will, the best of American culture and history, et cetera. So Qatar has been at the forefront of globalization, and it's done a wonderful job in that sense in that field. So it's unbelievable what has been going on here in the past decade. And yes, it is the wife of the emir, but also the emir himself, who have shepherded this. So it's been remarkable.
Yeah. Is it the case that professors like you are helping to train an educational, diplomatic, foreign policy elite in Qatar that then goes on to have influence?
Partly so, yes, but I wouldn't necessarily put it in these sort of terms. I think it is general, just a vision that the country has of developing in every sphere they have, not just wasting their money, their oil, gas revenues on, you know, luxury goods or whatever, such as, you know, the Saudis have done in the past a little bit.
Or Dubai.
But to actually invest it in the future. Or Dubai being the best example maybe of this bubble, both in finance and also elsewhere, this sort of excess of globalization, if you will. Qatar has tried to tread sort of a more rational path and a long-term sort of looking towards a long-term development strategy. And so it's that, more or less, rather than even just, you know, the diplomatic relations with the U.S., which are very cordial, but also with other players in the region. Qatar is very much sort of navigating the seas and trying to maintain good relations with everyone.
And creating really a new model for influence in the region. Mark Farha, I hate to do this to you. Can you get me World Cup tickets for 2022?
I'm afraid that's a little bit far down the road. That's we'll see what happens till then. As you know, the region is in turmoil, and though you know, we all hope that it will this storm will pass. It's too early to tell right now.
But the 2022 World Cup is a part of this sort of growing global cultural influence of Qatar. Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's unbelievable how they've really, I mean, if you think of Al Jazeera, you think of this education city project, which has really borne fruit so far, and then the World Cup to top it all off. It is, the sky's the limit, it seems. So, yes, and then it is also, of course, the largest exporter of natural gas, a country with a population, with a citizenship of 200,000 and 1 million foreign workers, 200,000 citizens. So this kind of, these macroeconomic statistics are boggle the mind.
Well, the football players for Manchester United and Real Madrid and others are already buying their sunblock, I suspect, for 2022. Mark Farha, assistant professor of government at Georgetown University School of Foreign Service in, guess where? Doha, Qatar, talking about the rise of a regional power, but not in military terms. Professor, thanks so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.